Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Oregon Representative Greg Smith, and my conversation with him will begin right after this, so stay with us.
At McKittrick Estates, we know the holidays can be a stressful time for those caring for aging loved ones. It's why we have a free resource page on our website with valuable information and support for caregivers. There are blogs, guides, webinars, and more touching on topics that range from memory loss to fall prevention to mental health and much more. Courtesy of McKittrick Estates, it's available at PrestigeCanHelp.com. That's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
Bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KUMA Coffee Hour. I'm your host, Dan Tessman. Joining me via telephone this morning is Oregon Representative Greg Smith. Representative, thanks for joining us once again.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you for having me on the Coffee Hour and KUMA. It's great to be with you.
Well, we got a lot to cover this morning, so we'll get right to it. Representative, looking back, what stands out from the last legislative session? High points, low points, victories, and or regrets?
You know, it's interesting. The last legislative session really represented a generational change in Oregon. We had a brand new governor. We had a brand new Speaker of the House. We had a brand new Senate president. And approximately 70%, and again, I say approximate percent, of the legislators from throughout Oregon were new to the Capitol. Because of COVID, those freshmen 2-3 years ago had never been in the building. And so that was an interesting component. Many of the folks were trying to figure out, you know, where the restroom was, let alone how to pass legislation. And so that really stands out to me from last session. You know, the high point I would share with you is that some good legislation passed, and we'll be talking about that later here this morning. The low point, it was really challenging serving in the minority and having the majority party not willing necessarily to come to the table to work through issues that in the past previous speakers and Senate presidents would have. But again, that goes back to the generational change, and I think some of it was just inexperience on the behalf of the new leader. And admittedly, on the Republican side, we had new leaders as well, especially in the House. Our House leader, this was her first term. So there's just a lot of inexperience.
With the rush at the end of the session, when the Republican senators came back to the table, did anything get neglected that needed to be taken care of in the coming session?
You know, there's always work to be done, most definitely. And it's really interesting, you know, the voters of Oregon constitutionally told the legislature, we expect you to be at work. We expect you to be there. And it really created kind of a constitutional question, because the Constitution also says, Greg, you have an obligation to be at the Capitol to balance the state budget. That's why we send you there. And so it was challenging as we got to the end, because you know, on the Senate side, work was not being taken care of as they were dealing with a controversial bill. And so there were budget items that really needed to be addressed pertaining to behavioral health, addiction, housing, that we were not able to fully vet. And so those are issues that here in the upcoming February session we're going to have to address. But with that said, Dan, I have to share with you, with so many legislators not knowing the process for senior legislators such as myself, I think we were able to get the some pretty good things accomplished, and we'll talk about that here in a moment as well.
What are your priorities in the 2024 session?
Yeah, you know, I really believe behavioral health and addiction are right there at the top of the list. We don't have to go very far down our main streets to see the folks who are homeless, those who are suffering from addiction, those who have other behavioral health issues. And the reality is they are human beings. And we as a society will be measured by how we take care of our brothers and our sisters. And, you know, never mind how they got into that situation. What we need to do is figure out for the benefit of all society, including those who are struggling, how to address those issues. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because at the end of the day, Dan, you have to have justice. And at the same time, what I'm asking for is an ounce of mercy. And so finding that balance between those who break the law and those who commit crimes against their neighbors, there does have to be justice. But we also do need to figure out how do we break the trend? How do we stop that trend so folks aren't doing those type of activities? And so in 2024, I really look forward to working with the governor and my colleagues to try and figure out this behavioral health issue. Not that we're going to get it right, you know, immediately, but at the end of the day, there's no doubt we need to be focused on that effort to assist our schools, assist our communities, assist businesses. So that'll be my priority here in February.
We're aware of an ongoing effort to make fixes surrounding Oregon's voter-approved drug decriminalization measure. Can the legislature actually fix Measure 110, and if so, how?
You know, the answer is yes, we can. But we have to be careful, and let me tell you why. I'm personally very committed to making sure we honor the will of the voters. And it was the voters of Oregon who passed ballot measure 110. We did it by a vote of the people. The challenge is I'm not sure if folks had an opportunity to vote for ballot measure 110 again, that they would pass it. I don't believe folks thought we were going to be legalizing small amounts of darn near all drugs, meth and heroin and the rest of that stuff. And so, you know, there has to be a fix. Now, one of the things that we've been doing is working with our law enforcement, with our sheriff, with our police departments, with the county commissioners, behavioral health folks. As a matter of fact, here about 10 days ago, Commissioner Schaefer called a summit together to talk about ballot measure 110 and addiction. And part of what we're going to have to do is really acknowledge the fact it's not working. Now, the question is do we, the legislature can overturn it. We, with a vote of 40 members, 40 out of 60 in the House, we can overturn the will of Oregon voters. And that may be a vote that I'm going to have to take. With that said, then, what do we do to replace it? And what I would share with you is there's three key points we need to focus on. One is we need to restore criminal justice and accountability. We just need to acknowledge that public use of drugs on our sidewalks, in front of schools, in front of businesses, needs to be prohibited. Very similar to what we already do in Oregon with alcohol. Then we need to rehabilitate. And, you know, ballot measure 110 promised treatment, but they got it wrong. They didn't have the money to do that. And so we have to figure out how do we rehabilitate after we restore justice. And then finally, and I would say this is probably most important, we have to reinvest funding to address those acute needs. You know, our county probation departments need to be able to supervise those misdemeanor thefts and property crimes that have occurred. We need to make sure that our courts have adequate resources. And at the end of the day, we need to have facilities to detox folks. Right now, when someone is taken into custody for a ballot measure 110 issue, they're going to our emergency room. Well, our emergency rooms aren't capable of coping with these type of issues. Yes, they can stabilize, but they can't do the rehabilitation. They can't do the justice restoration. And so we have to have a method to do that. And so it's rehabilitate, it's restore, it's reinvest. And it's going to be a long, long conversation. The last thing, Dan, I'll share again, I apologize for such a long answer, but there's a lot of folks in Portland who still believe ballot measure 110 to remain as is. And as we know, 19 of the 60 votes in the House come from Multnomah County. 80% of the votes come from within folks who live 1 hour within the Capitol. And so, us rural legislators, we're going to do what we can. But at the end of the day, Portland and Clackamas and Beaverton and those communities have to stand up and say we've had enough, and they need to provide the votes to work with us to reform this.
Do you think it's better just to put out another referendum to totally recall it?
Let me share with you right now. There's a group of business leaders, Columbia Sportswear, Nike, folks in downtown Portland, who have to live and work there, that have told the legislature you have two choices. Either amend and recriminalize and restore justice, or we're going to bring a ballot measure forward. And I would have to share with you, if I don't see adequate reforms coming seriously this February, then I would be a strong advocate to overturn ballot measure 110. Not because I want to overturn the will of the voter. Again, that is the last thing I want to do. But at the end of the day, I don't believe my neighbors really believe ballot measure 110 is working as promised. And so we either need to make significant changes or, yes, we need to, correct it.
All right. Talking this morning with Oregon Representative Greg Smith. We're going to take our first break. Back with more. Stay with us.
Toilet running? Faucet dripping? Zimmerman & Company True Value is the place for expert advice and all the plumbing supplies you need. Here's Jeff to tell you more.
Well, a lot of people seem to be having some plumbing issues, and we have basically anything needed to repair any plumbing problem you may have. And we also have the advice that will be able to help you be confident to fix the problem that's existing.
Open 7 days a week, Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street for over 80 years in downtown Pendleton.
Folks, book your tickets, fasten your seatbelt, put your seat in the upright position, and fly Walla Walla. The Port of Walla Walla and its community partners worked hard to get back the second flight with an early a.m. departure and a late p.m. arrival to and from Seattle. Let's rally behind this expanded air service and make it a success. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com. Fly Walla Walla, and remember, free parking.
This time of year, leaves can cover storm drains and cause water to back up. You can help by keeping an eye out. If leaves are blocking a drain or catch basin, grab a garden rake and pull them away from the drain. Pick up and bag your leaves and do not rake them into the street. Remember, November is Free Leaf Recycling Month at Pendleton Sanitary Service. Please remember, only rain down the drain and help the city of Pendleton keep our streets clear.
Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Oregon Representative Greg Smith. And Representative, you scored some good funding for projects in your district. Tell us about some of them.
You're gracious. You're gracious. Thank you very much. I would share with folks, I'm blessed to serve on a committee that's called the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Capital Construction. And that committee effectively is the executive committee for the Ways and Means budget process. And the Speaker and the Senate President and the party leaders and myself serve on this committee. And we had some tough decisions to make in this last session. We had, I think it was close to 450 requests for projects to be funded throughout the state of Oregon. And, you know, it's challenging because everyone wants dollars to come to their district. At the end of the day, though, District 57, in my view, did pretty darn well in that we were able to allocate $12,745,000 to Morrow County for the construction of a new circuit courthouse. And this was a huge win. You know, going back to ballot measure 110 and talking about not having adequate infrastructure in place to assist, we believe that having a new courthouse where our circuit court judges in Morrow County will be able to work and to help expedite cases will be positive. We were able to obtain $5 million for industrial development in District 57, and that'll help assist in basic infrastructure for industrial opportunities within the two counties. For the little city of Ione, we were able to obtain $1 million to assist them in their water infrastructure project. They have a real big issue going on right now in Ione, and that, you know, you've got a community of 280, 300 people, but their water system needs to be replaced. And so when you talk, you recognize how expensive those water systems are, but there's not a lot of people to pay for it. We're pleased to try and step up and help folks there. We're able to get some money for recharge, $3 million for aquifer recharge. And this is primarily going to be working in the Pilot Rock, Milton Freewater area, working with City of Pendleton, you know, that portion of Umatilla County. We were able to assist Wheeler County with $300,000 for Western Juniper removal. And the reason we're doing this is as a fire prevention. You know, many folks on the western side of the state, you know, look at juniper and they go, gosh, what a beautiful tree. Well, it is a beautiful tree, but it's also invasive. It sucks up a ton of water, and it's not native to the area. And so part of what we want to do is take those juniper trees that are closest to Mitchell and Spray and Fossil and try to create a boundary around those communities. And so we're going to start removing some of those juniper trees for fire protection. So back on courthouses, Umatilla County, they're growing. We all know we're growing. And working with Dan Doran and Commissioner Dan Doran and the folks at the commission, we were able to just give them a small little $100,000 grant to begin planning for their new circuit courthouse. And it doesn't mean the old buildings are going away. It just means we need to expand, and we need to be able to accommodate our circuit court justice. Let's see here. $1.2 million is going to be going to, $1.5 million is going to go to the city of Heppner for transportation infrastructure development. If folks will come down to Heppner down in South Morrow County, boy, you can really see that they've worked really hard and diligently to have their main street revitalized, and they're working really hard on making sure that the community remains viable and beautiful. And so $1.5 million will go to assist them. And then, Dan, I have to tell you, the thing I'm probably most proud of is the fact that we were able to send a few dollars over to Eastern Oregon University so that any student from District 57, whether you're in Milton Freewater or Hermiston, Irrigan, Condon, all the way over to Madras, if you come from District 57 and you go to Eastern Oregon University, your tuition is paid for. And so one of the things I really wanted to do, especially coming out of COVID, was make it easy for our students to continue with their education. And so we allocated a set of dollars over to the university. So if folks have kids, have students who would like to go to Eastern Oregon University, please reach out to them and ask them about this. I know, for example, the Rockwell kids over in Boardman, they're taking advantage of that scholarship opportunity, and I hope other kids would as well. So that's just a little bit of a taste of some things we were able to take care of. There's so much more to be done. We're working with Kimberly Lindsay and Gobi on behavioral health projects, trying to make sure those get funded. You know, I'm excited to see some of the money we put into Stepping Stones over in Hermiston is going phenomenally well. We were able to work on some psychiatric clinic infrastructure for our youth who are struggling with behavioral health. And so, you know, the blessing of serving on the Capital Construction Committee is you have an opportunity to assist. And I'm so grateful for my friends and neighbors for allowing me to serve there.
All right. Well, we're going to take another quick break. Back with more, so stay with us.
Don't like winter driving? Let Letter Bus Transit get you there safely. Letter Bus Transit has routes to key locations throughout Pendleton. Their daily routes run almost hourly and go to key locations like Pendleton High School, Blue Mountain Community College, Walmart, St. Anthony Hospital, and the Roundup Athletic Club. So let Letter Bus Transit get you there safely. For route and schedule information, go online at pendleton.or.us/transportation. Letter Bus Transit, brought to you by the City of Pendleton and Elite Taxis. Ride the bus.
Get a jump on your Christmas shopping, save money, and shop local. Don't miss the Black Friday sale on November 24th and 25th at Wild Horse Resort and Casino. Enjoy special discounts and shop unique items at the gift shop, golf pro shops, and Hamley Western store. Let the knowledgeable staff find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Shop local this Christmas at Wild Horse Resort and Casino and Hamley's downtown on Court and Main, Pendleton.
Is joint pain keeping your loved ones from being able to enjoy all the things they used to? Give the gift of being pain-free this Christmas by getting a gift certificate from the Center for Ozone Therapy. Hi, Scott here. Ozone Therapy provides a natural, drug-free method of healing, pain management, and overall wellness. Our patients have had tremendous success in reducing their shoulder, knee, neck, and back pains and are getting back the lifestyles they love. The Center for Ozone Therapy, the corner of Southeast Dorian and 2nd, give us a call, 276-1752, and a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a pain-free night.
Engaging talk. Let's get back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Oregon Representative Greg Smith. And Representative, our lawmakers work many hours but are still considered part-time employees with other careers. As an economic development consultant, you are the project manager for the Columbia Development Authority. Now that the Umatilla Chemical Weapons Depot land is back under local control, there's a lot of work to be done. Talk about what has to happen, especially on the land that Umatilla and Morrow counties wanted to develop for business and industry.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Thank you for letting me put on my other hat. You know, the Columbia Development Authority is such an important asset for Umatilla and Morrow County, and it represented the fourth largest transfer in U.S. Army history. So it was a major undertaking. But now that we have the property, even more work needs to be done. Tremendous strategic planning is underway. The public is more than invited to go to our website, Columbia Development Authority, and participate in those meetings. Infrastructure needs to be placed, water and wastewater and power and natural gas, all that stuff that industry needs, roads, et cetera. And so we're working through that. But here's the other thing. We are receiving real contacts, real interest from folks who are ready to come out and make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investments out at the Development Authority property today. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was on the phone with, 2 days ago, excuse me, I was on the phone with a real estate executive who's looking to bring a large steel manufacturing company to our area 200 new jobs, each paying approximately $100,000 to $110,000 on average per job. And so part of what we've got to do is we've got to be able to take advantage of those opportunities immediately while acknowledging that we only get one shot to do this correctly. And so the board really has some hard decisions to make. We have five board members, including the two counties, the two ports, and the tribe. And, you know, at the end of the day, they need to come together and collaborate to take advantage of these opportunities that we've been blessed and handed before us.
I have about 2 minutes left, Representative. Will you be sponsoring or proposing any measures in the upcoming short session?
Yeah, I will be. What I do want to share, though, is, and I forgot to do this, Dan, so I apologize, but we did pass a piece of legislation in House Bill 3235. Myself and a couple of my folks from across the aisle were the chief sponsors of a $1,000 child tax credit for filers with children under the age of 6 years old. And so, parents out there, if you have a child under the age of 6 years old, we want to make sure you take advantage of that $1,000 tax credit. So please look that up or give us a call at our office. Now, Dan, with that said, we're going to introduce several pieces of legislation. One is working closely with our state police and our forensic police officers. Crazy as it sounds, they're not eligible for police perks. They handle some of the most egregious cases of issues, and yet they're not part of police PERS. And so we want to correct that and make sure that they get what's coming to them. And then I'm going to be working with our farm community on carbon sequestration. And we've got an exciting piece of legislation. I'd love to come back and talk about it. It's really lengthy, so I know we don't have time today, but those are the two pieces, working with our state police and working with our farmers on carbon sequestration.
All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of the KUMA Coffee Hour. My guest this morning, Oregon Representative Greg Smith. And yeah, we'll be talking to you again real soon. And I appreciate the time, Representative. And with that, we'll be back again tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.
The U.S. stands by its assessment. I'm Lisa Brady.